Today we will speak about the problem of solving a linear system we assume the following conditions: A is square, and non-singular. So we know that a solution exists unique. Well, you know, I guess, that this problem can be solved with a large variety of methods. A general distinction exists between direct and iterative methods. We will start with direct methods, which usually are connected with a special, specific, there is a connection with the so-called matrix factorization. So today we will describe the most common, most important, most used matrix factorization. Anyhow, let us release an important and general consideration regarding the notion of conditioning of the system or of the problem. What does conditioning mean? The conditioning is, generally speaking, some measure of the sensitiveness of the unique solution X on the perturbations affecting the data of the problem. Which are the data of the problem? The data of the problem are the matrix or the coefficients and the vector in the right hand side, the known term, the so-called known term, B. This is important regardless the method that will be chosen, in the sense that if small perturbations, say errors, on A or on B, if small perturbation on the data induce large variation on the result, on the solution X, any method will be used. We have to expect a small accuracy, an insufficient accuracy in the result. So in this sense, this is a preliminary result that we have to discuss. There exists a fundamental result regarding the conditioning, which can be expressed in various forms. A general form we can call it conditioning bound if we assume that the matrix A is replaced with a perturbed matrix A plus delta A so B is replaced with a perturbed vector B plus delta B in consequence as a consequence of this the exact solution X will be replaced by a perturbed solution which will be called X plus delta X or this is the same delta X is the difference between the real exact solution and the perturbed solution if we start from the exact problem and consider the perturbed problem we are interested in measuring with respect to some norm, some vector norm, this quantity, which will naturally depend on delta A and delta B, which were the causes of the perturbation. How can we proceed? We need a lemma, a simple result. It is just an exercise. You find it at the end of the previous chapter, of chapter 3. If we have a square matrix of this form, say the identity matrix plus a matrix B, where some induced matrix norm of B is less, strictly less than 1. Then, first point, the matrix I plus B is invertible, is not singular. Second point, the matrix norm of its inverse is less, I don't remember if it is a strict or weak inequality. It is weak. Is less or equal than this quantity, which is well defined since the norm of B is less than 1. This is easy to see because if I plus B is singular, this is equivalent to the fact that some non-zero vector X exists such that the matrix by the vector is equal to the zero vector. It is some non-zero solution of the linear homogeneous C system with these matrices, matrix coefficients, exist. But if we write again the linear system in this form, this equation, this form, I by x plus b by x equal to zero, and found then that x is equal to minus b by x. This means that x is an eigenvector for b and eigenvalue minus 1. Is it clear? Here you read that you can put this sign on this side. B by x is equal to minus 1 by x. So x is eigenvector and minus 1 is eigenvalue for b. But we have seen that an inducer norm of a matrix is larger or equal than its spectral radius. If we have found, an eigenvalue with modulus 1, the spectral radius must be larger or equal to 1. So we have found the contradiction. Because we started from the assumption that the norm of B was less than 1. So B is non-singular, so it is invertible. Second point is the definition of inverse. The inverse exists. Here we have the identity matrix. Let us expand. We multiply the inverse by the identity by the matrix B and bring the term with one sign on the right hand side. So we have the inverse multiplied by B. Okay, we have expanded. Now we consider the norm of the two sides of the equation and apply the properties of the norms. I mean that the norm of the inverse is less than the norm of the identity plus the norm of the product, that is itself less than the product of the norms. Let us put see if the norm is an inducer norm. You will recall that the norm of the identity is equal to 1. At this point, we bring back this term to the left-hand side, put it as a factor, and we have found the result. You can divide both sides by this difference in the brackets and find this inequality with a weak sign of inequality. Well, let us go back to the condition in question. So, we write again the perturbed linear system. Proceed in this way. On the left, multiply the perturbed matrix by the the perturbation on the solution, and then multiply again A plus delta A by X and by and delta A by X. Is it correct? Yes. X is the exact solution, so we can cancel A by X and delta. We go on to this algebraic manipulations, bring this term with minus sign to the left. Then consider as a factor on the left the matrix A. A is a vertical, so we can do this by introducing the inverse in this position. Multiply both sides by the inverse of A and find now of the form considered in the previous lemma is present. The identity matrix plus some matrix B. If we require that this matrix B satisfies the assumption of the previous lemma, that is the inverse of A by delta A norm less than 1, we can say that this matrix is invertible, and we can write delta x equal to the inverse of I plus which is this by the terms which were in the right side. It seems complicated, but these are all algebraic manipulations without deep meaning, I would say. Is it right? Okay. Now we consider the norms. The norms of what? We have here vectors and matrices. We have started from a matrix norm, but it was an induced matrix norm. So we have a couple, a pair of norms, vector and matrix, which interact one with the other. In this sense, we consider the norm, the vector norm of delta x, and bound it with the product of, we start from last terms, the norm of the inverse, the norm of delta A by x, which is bounded by the norm of delta A, the minus vanishes, by delta by x, plus the norm, the vector norm of delta x. Here we have the norm of the inverse, which by the previous lemma can be bounded by 1 over 1 minus the norm of this matrix. I can enlarge and raise this bound by replacing the norm of this product with the product of the norms, as usual. So here we can write this. I will try to obtain from this inequality a bound easy to use. In order to do this, we divide both members by the norm of x. We add the assumption that b was different from 0, so also x is different from 0. We can do this. So, on the left, we have what we wanted, a relative measure of the perturbation on the result and the solution. On the right, let us manipulate again the terms on the right by multiplying and dividing by the same quantity, the norm of A. So I can write here the norm of A by the norm of its inverse. The denominator, I can write it as 1 minus. Also here, I multiply and divide by the norm of A. In order to have again this quantity, the product of the two norms here. What is left? The terms that I have circled. The first, norm of x divided by norm of x, so delta a norm a, and all is left. The last term is the last term I write it here. The numerator is delta x. The denominator is the product. This. But I remember that the exact system, this is the relation which links A, X, and B. In norm, I have that the product of norms of these factors is larger than the norm of B. So I raise more this bound by putting here instead of this sorry, half here.
That should be there.
There must be.
Yeah, on the first line. Yeah.
Here.
Up. B plus the space, but it's B plus the B.
Okay, this was my mistake. Here is delta B. Thank you. So here is also delta V, also here. So we replace this numerator with norm of V, and I find here what I wanted, which was on the left, a quantity involving the relative perturbation of the data. This is the final result. Which looks complicated, but it can be, I can give it a simple meaning, because on the left, I have the relative perturbation of the solution. On the right, I have, in the brackets, the sum of the relative perturbations on the data. The matrix, perturbation on the matrix, delta A, the perturbation on the known term, relative perturbation, delta B. This number, this is a weight, a factor, which can amplify because it multiplies the role of these perturbations in norm. Let us see more closely this weight, this number. If we call, this is a definition, that some of you already know, as mean of A, which we call it condition number of A, the product of these two norms. This number appears two times, twice in the formula, here and here. So I can write the multiplying factor using this definition as mean of A 1 minus mean of A. Which multiplies the relative perturbation of A. So, in the also in taking making the assumption that the relative perturbations are small, if this number is large, the relative perturbation, the error, you may see it as an error on the solution, may be large. So it is important. Say it again, regardless of the method that we will be using, that the condition number of matrix is small. However, it can be very small since by its definition this number is necessarily, this is the submultiplicativity of the matrix norms, it must be larger than the norm of identity, which for Euler norms has value 1. So this number is larger than 1. It is not very hard to construct, to give as important examples, instances of matrices which also for small, relatively small sizes have large condition numbers. A famous example which is given here in the didactic files is the Huber matrix, Huber matrix is a square matrix of order n. Example, its entries are ratios of the form 1 over an increasing number. They are symmetric matrices. So definition is A sub ij equals 1 over I plus j minus 1. Well, this matrix is involved in important problems, multiplicative problems, and if you compute its condition number, with respect to the two norm, so we consider the condition number, assuming to use the two norm, you find that I write in here only the worst case depicted in the picture you find here. Mi sub 2 of the Hilbert matrix of size 10 turns out to be 1.6 by 10 to the 30. If you can change the norm if you want by the equivalence, the property of equivalence among all norms. If you change norm, you find a slightly different result, but not very far from the result found with the previous norm. You find that with infinite norm, the condition number is about 3.5 with same power of 10. This means that if one has to solve a linear system with a matrix of this type, a loss of accuracy of 13 decimal digits has to be expected. So if you know that the number of significant digit in a standard computer arithmetic is about 15, huh? 15 digits at the starting of the computation. 13 of them may be we may lose 13 of them. So we can be sure that only 2 digits on the result correct. This is a very negative instance. The only possibility we have to increase the accuracy of the result is to increase the accuracy of the arithmetic. If it is possible, we have to use a floating point arithmetic with double or quadruple precision in order to contain the effects of the ill condition. This phenomenon is usually described as ill conditioning of the matrix or the coefficients. Well, now we consider some direct methods under a unifying framework which consists in linking them to specific factorization of the coefficient matrix of the system. In other words, if you assume to factorize, that is, assume to see the matrix as the product of two other matrices of the same size, B and C, with the value requirements that so that linear systems having B of C as coefficient matrices are easy to solve. What do I mean as easy to solve? Essentially, it can be solved with a smaller amount of floating point operations. Natural examples for B and C. Natural choices that can be made for B and C are choices within the set of triangular or unitary matrices. B and C are chosen as triangular or unitary. Why? The reason is simple. Solving a triangular system requires big O of n squared plus. You know that the triangular system can be solved by using the so-called back substitution, if it is upper triangular, or forward substitution, if it is lower triangular. The back substitution can be made in, with an amount of floating point operations which is of the order of n squared. The same thing happens with unitary systems. Solving systems with unitary matrix as coefficient matrix needs big O n squared flops too. Why? Because we have U, the unitary matrix, like X. Equal to B, the solution is immediately found by multiplying the real inverse of U, which is the conjugate tensors of U, by B. This is a product of a matrix by a vector, so its cost is again big O n squared of n squared. Well, if we find, generally speaking, two matrices of this kind which factorize the matrix A, then the solution of the linear system can be found in two steps. Here we write B by C by X and so on, then call C by X, Y. First, you solve the linear system B by Y equal to B. Second, you solve this linear system, C by X equal to Y. Under these assumptions, the total cost is again quadratic. and the overall amount of flops is so given the total by this quadratic term plus the cost of computing the factorization.
Cost of the factorization.
Which is usually of the order of n cubed. This is the general situation. And now we stop for 10 minutes. In the second part of today's lesson, we will consider the most important factorization of this type, which are three. There's a called L by U factorizations which correspond to the Gauss direct method. The L by L to the H factorization, which corresponded to another method, which will be introduced, known as Cholesky method. And a third factorization, QR is its name, the direct method linked to the third factorization is called householder method. These are the three most used methods. Direct method for linear systems of equation. Okay, questions? So let us stop for a while.